I'm John Krall. The Super Bowl has brought huge crowds and the world's attention to Indianapolis. Big events such as the Super Bowl, though, also bring scam artists by the score. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about the ways you can protect yourself from the folks who want to pry your money from you and give you little or nothing in return. We will talk about this with our guests, Cheryl Reed of Angie's List, Abby Kuzman of the Indiana State Attorney General's Office, Indiana State Police Sergeant Rod Russell, and Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department Sergeant David Miller. Please join the conversation by calling us toll-free at 1-866-476-3881, emailing us at nolimits@wfyi.org, or sending a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now, the day's news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism and executive editor of thestatehousefile.com. We are talking today about consumer protection and Super Bowl scams here on No Limits. And we're actually going to work with a slightly different format. We're going to do kind of a law and order approach to this subject. In the first half of our show, we're going to have with us as our guests Cheryl Reed, who is with Angie's List. Cheryl Reed, welcome. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. And Abby Kuzma, who is with the Consumer Protection Division of the Indiana Attorney General's Office. Abby, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Great to be here.
In the second half of the show, we're going to be talking with Indiana State Police Sergeant Rod Russell and IMPD Sergeant David Miller about the stuff that they know is already out there. I'd like to start first just by asking, you know, overall, are there some guidelines or what's out there right now that people should be aware of? Since everybody is juiced up about the Super Bowl, they're really excited about the fact that this huge event has come to our city. And in that case, they're probably also somewhat more open to scams than they might otherwise be. Abby.
We haven't, at the Attorney General's Office, actually received a lot of complaints yet, and unfortunately we expect them to happen after Super Bowl, because that's usually when people realize they've been scammed. But some things to think about to protect ourselves. A lot of folks are talking about renting out their homes, and if you're using a rental company, just like in any other situation, you want to make sure you've checked them out. Talk to Better Business Bureau, talk to our office to see whether or not there have been complaints against that company, so you know you're dealing with a legitimate organization. And then you want to think about all of the other issues, whether you're using a rental company or you're doing this on your own. Think about what's going to happen to your house. Is this something you really want to do? And obviously, you're going to need to use common sense here. You might want to remove valuables. You might want to remove anything that is breakable. You might want to think about, this is huge, insurance. Do you have insurance that will cover any problem that might arise? We had called around earlier and found out that, in fact, most homeowners insurance do not cover this kind of thing, this kind of event process. And you would have to buy a special event policy or something similar to that. So you definitely want to check with your insurance company. And then again, the practical issues like, okay, security deposits. Are you going to have a security deposit from the renter? On the one level, getting cash up front for the whole weekend or however long you're renting your home might be a good idea, but you don't have any information about that person maybe. You might not have a way to contact that person later and think about the fact that they might be living in some faraway state like California. What happens if something goes wrong? So, you know, that's an issue as well, but absolutely getting some money up front and having a contract is critical. Everybody needs to understand what are the rules, what have you agreed to, what's going to happen next.
Don't do this on a handshake, in other
absolutely.
Words.
Absolutely. So those are good rules of thumb to start with.
And Cheryl Reed, I mean, what are you seeing out there? I mean, what would your advice, you serve a lot of people, obviously, Angie's List.
Sure.
Does. What kind of tips are you offering them right now?
Well, I think Abby has covered most of them. One of the tips that we sort of uncovered from talking to real estate agents and others who are involved in the rental agencies and in that space, this is a great idea, I think. If you're going to rent your house, if you've already done it, throw in light housekeeping, because that gives you a real reason to go to your house and check on things. Do get all of your valuables out. Do get things like medications that have your identification and information in there. If you've got something that identifies you that could be used for identity theft, you know, you want to get those things out of there, things like magazines that have subscription information. But the idea of offering little perks to your guests gives you a reason to go back in there without being intrusive. And you can sort of, you know, check on the condition of your home. You know, if there's a problem, you can see it quickly. So when you get into those kinds of things, those are just nice ways to still keep an eye on your property. One of the things that I think people need to remember this weekend, there's no bargain. There's no bargain anywhere for anything.
Absolutely.
And if you find one, you're probably going to get a counterfeit ticket or merchandise that's not authentic. And if you care about authentic things, you know, some people don't mind that they're buying something that isn't really NFL endorsed. But if you do care about that, look for those labels. Look for the purchase agreement that you have, depending on, you know, you can buy really expensive items to commemorate your weekend. So make sure that you're actually buying souvenirs that are what you know, that they, you know, if you want them to be real, you're going to have to pay something for that. One of the things that I think, you know, a lot of people are really curious about these parties, all these mysterious parties where all the VIPs are going in Hollywood. If you're not on that list already, you're probably not going to buy your way onto that list with some guy in an alley for $20. Save your money, buy the pretzels, you know, check things out, do your homework, have your common sense at hand, and have fun. There's plenty of fun to be had, even if you don't spend a lot of money. So if you're going to give away some of your money, make sure you're giving it to the person who actually has what you want.
We are talking about consumer protection and Super Bowl scams here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We obviously are not the first city that's dealt with the Super Bowl. What are some of the scams that have occurred in the past that people should be? I'm assuming, Abby, that your office has done some research on that. What are the kinds of things? I'm guessing there was a reason you started out with the real estate, basically,
yeah,
renting
exactly.
your house, that was one of the problem areas. Are there other problem areas?
Well, I think with respect to the housing, you just have to be careful not to lose your shirt to somebody who's not legitimate. So you've got to check out to make sure that whoever you're working with is a legitimate organization. And as you were saying earlier, if it's the deal is too good to be true, it's not going to be a real deal. And we really have to think about that. But people have been ripped off by sham rental agencies and other situations where people have paid a good deal of money up front, and it wasn't clear what would happen if their house didn't rent, for example, or who they were renting to, what the circumstances would be, etc. So there can be complete scams where you have a situation where somebody is not really trying to rent your house at all and just taking your money, or it could be a situation where you don't have enough protections and your house was rented, but either you didn't get paid in the end or your house is destroyed and you're not protected.
And what steps, if somebody suspects something is going on with their house or whatever that they've rented out, what steps should they take? I mean, should they just dial 911? Whom should they report this to? I mean, what are their avenues of response here?
Well, you had just given a suggestion for having some way to go in and check on things. That's a really good idea.
But presuming you've gone in and checked on it and thought,
and you're
okay,
worried.
My television's gone.
Well, you know,
exactly. What do I do?
Or, part of it depends on what it is you find, of course.
Yeah.
You know, 911 would be appropriate if you see some illegal activity going on. And we are at the Attorney General's office. Greg Zeller is very concerned about human trafficking during this time period. And again, it's not Super Bowl per se. It's a large event with a lot of people coming in, and it's very possible that the increased demand for commercial sex that happens with this sort of large event can fuel human trafficking. It's happened before. It could happen again. And so, you know, if you go in and see something in your house and you get suspicious, oh my gosh, here is an older man with a bunch of young girls. This looks like a weird situation to me. The girls look like they've maybe been abused. They're distressed. They're unhappy. There might be signs of violence. You know, you might see something weird. And if you did have any suspicion that your house is being used for an illegal purpose, yeah, absolutely call the police. If you think it's human trafficking, you could also call the hotline number.
Is it possible, Cheryl Reed, also that some people are going to try to, I mean, I would think if I were trying to scam someone in this setting, you've given good common sense solutions here where you say, you know, if it looks like it's too good a deal, pass it up. But what if it's someone whose price is pretty close to what they'd be charging in the shops? It's just you have to be walking by and it's not authentic merchandise there. You know, I would think that somebody's going to be smart enough to realize, are there ways you can check to verify?
There are. Last year, for instance, at the Super Bowl, federal agencies seized more than $3.5 million worth of fake goods, T-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, you know, what have you. There are hologram brand tags, NFL endorsed, you know, you can find those things. Those are fairly difficult to reproduce in the manner that they should be in the stores. So, you know, check it out. And if the price is close enough, but the circumstances are a little off, you know, I mean, in the stores, that's your safest bet. In the little shops and the kiosks where you're within the village or within the parameters of the authorized venue, the farther you get out, the shadier it seems. You know, just keep in mind, there are no bargains. And one of the things that I think people need to look at, especially those who are driving in, is parking. Mm-hmm. One of the scams that has been pulled is somebody sees an open parking lot. Let's say it's an office building and it's, you know, on the weekend. Well, they can set up shop there and start taking cash. And if you don't know any better, you're going to park your car there. You're going to give your cash. And then they go away. They don't own that lot. They're not authorized. So you want to park in a garage, in an authorized spot, if you can. And I'm going to give you an Angie's List plug here. If you want to spend $20, we're having parking at our campus. And for $20 a day, that money goes to charity. It's authorized, it's open, and there will be credentialed people there who will give you information about, you know, where to park and how to get back down to the village. Look for those kinds of things rather than taking a chance. Don't park in an alley when you see this great spot that nobody else has found. Well, they probably have, and you're either going to have your car stolen or broken into, or towed. Yeah, and then you'll be, you know, meeting the happy folks at the towing company with the big bill. So so be careful what you're doing. And, you know, do your homework. Don't just come into town thinking that, oh, I can find a space to rent or I can, you know, put my car anywhere. You're going to be paying some money. So be prepared. Don't spend cash if you can help it.
Mm-hmm. Why not? No, explain that real quickly.
Well, that's the easiest way to scam somebody. There's no record of purchase. You're in the wind, you know. I give $20. Let's say it's just $20 for, you know, a ticket into this venue. Well, A, you might not need a ticket. It might be free. You know, people get scammed on that a lot. But you'd have no recourse. And so, you know, most of the authorized vendors are set up for debit and credit card. You've got protection. You've got proof. And, you know, with cash, you just don't have it.
We are talking about Super Bowl scams and consumer protection here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Cheryl, you mentioned that at the last Super Bowl they scooped up $3.5 million worth of counterfeit goods. How porous was that net, though? I mean, I'm assuming the $3.5 million was only a relatively small piece of that. How big a business are we talking about with these scams?
It's millions and millions and millions of dollars. I mean, there are people who are embarrassed that they've been scammed that aren't going to report it.
Like the NFL commissioner or someone like that, maybe.
Could be. Okay. I mean, you know, really smart people do thoughtless things. You know, there's an instance with somebody recently who put their house up for sale. or not for sale, but for rent. And they had people come in to take a look at it, took photos, and then came back and robbed the place. You know, you need to be careful. You're not going to let anybody in your house on a regular day. Why is this any different? Check them out, do background checks, you know, be smart. Just have common sense. Don't be greedy. Don't expect a bargain. And you'll probably be okay.
And also don't, you know, it sounds like the flip side of that is don't expect to get rich off of this weekend, too, which is the other part. I mean, I would assume that the flip side of this is true, too, that if you're going to offer up your house or your apartment or whatever for the weekend and somebody is willing to pay you, you know, $15,000-$20,000 mm-hmm. for it, chances are, particularly if they're willing to pay in cash, that something you would not approve of is going to take place there during that time. Mm-hmm. Abby Kuzman, you're nodding your head.
Well, yes, that, and also just if you're purchasing something or renting something online, use the usual common sense about not being releasing your personal identity information to the wrong person. So, you know, the best way to avoid phishing scams is to not respond to someone else's solicitation to you, but for you to go online and find the legitimate vendor you want to purchase from and go from there. So, you know, that's something everybody needs to be careful about, too. Scammers are really smart, and they mm-hmm. set up shop wherever they're going to make some money. So you can bet your booties there's somebody out there who is trying to get people's personal identification information from a Super Bowl purchase, quote-unquote, and instead use it to scam that individual.
We are talking about Super Bowl scams and consumer protection here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, or you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. What about the liability, Amy? In this case, suppose I rent my house out for the weekend and, you know, something illegal takes place there. Am I responsible in any way?
Well, of course, it all depends on the fact situation. You want to be really careful that you have a contract mm-hmm. and that everybody's clear about what the rules are with respect to the contract. If you think something illegal is going on, you obviously need to be proactive and contact the police. I don't know whether you would be likely to be pulled into a situation
so
if something illegal
no...
was going on. I don't want to say there is no, because it would depend on the fact situation and whether or not somehow you were linked to what was happening. But, you know, like let's say, for example, there was an allegation that the drugs or whatever were being used were actually supplied by you. You know, I can imagine that there might be some way to pull you into the scenario, but you certainly need to be prepared to know what's happening and make sure that you have a really good solid contract. I think it's more likely that you're going to be in a situation where you don't get paid or that something is very seriously damaged in your house and you don't get reimbursed for that. And so having a good contract will help. But, you know, the reality is if somebody's from out of state, it's not that easy to enforce a contract across state lines.
Cheryl Reed, real quickly, suppose I go down to the village and end up buying an NFL jersey mm-hmm. for my son that turns out not to be real. What steps should I take at that point? Or is it basically
just... You should
just
hope it fits him and he really likes the color.
Because at that point, it is time just to kiss the money goodbye. And
it is. Well, you know, you can always turn it in to the authorities, but the chances that you're going to get reimbursed or, you know, find a happy resolution to that are very, very slim. So go into this with, you know, preparedness, optimism. And, you know, if it comes down to buying your son a shirt, for instance, he's probably not going to want to sell that later. It's mm-hmm. not going to be his college fund. So, you know, if that's the worst thing that happens to you, mm-hmm. how bad can that be, really? Just be smart. Don't spend cash. Go have a good time. You know, make sure that you're smart about where you keep your money. If you will be spending a little bit of cash for food or what have you. You know, I think the biggest issue, police will say, is pickpocketing and losing your money as opposed to actually having a theft or some sort of great counterfeiting scam going on, unless you actually, you know, you're going out to find that great bargain.
Mm-hmm.
We've had members who have spent $10,000 on a ticket through legitimate sources and had a wonderful time because they wanted to spend that kind of money. They wanted the experience. If you're prepared to do that, just be prepared to do the homework first.
And that means buying from the reputable dealers.
Could we list some of them? I mean, places where
NFL.com is where you can start. That's obviously a great place. And I believe Ticketmaster's their exchange of choice. You can take your chances with other sources, but you are really taking a big chance. And, you know, this is not the time to go meet a stranger on, you know, the back alley.
Are those the only two? I mean, I know for other sporting events, I've bought tickets through StubHub, for example. Mm-hmm.
Well, StubHub is mentioned also. Mm-hmm. I think you just have to go with one of the groups that's legitimate and make sure that you're not just responding to something online from somebody you don't know.
Yeah.
And there are ticket broker associations where you can check to be sure that they're actually licensed. It's natb.org will help you find out whether the venue that you're trying to use is a good one or not. And I wouldn't go too far astray from that.
So we are talking right now about consumer protection and Super Bowl scams here on No Limits. What is the worst scam we've seen so far with people who've come to this city? I know they're just starting to trickle in now, but the crowds have been building. I work downtown, have been building for at least the past 5 days. Have you gotten any reports yet of someone who's been taken seriously, Abby Kuzman?
We really haven't yet. I mean, we have not seen anybody who's been scammed at this point in time. But I'm not too surprised about that just because it hasn't really happened yet. So, for example, if you've rented out your house, you know, you don't know what's going to happen because it isn't over yet. So, no, we really haven't seen any complaints at this point in time.
What steps did it Abby Kuzman is the Attorney General's office taken to sort of prepare for this weekend? I know you mentioned the human trafficking bill, which was a major priority in the effort you're doing there. What other steps proactively?
Well, basically, we're just listening very carefully and looking for any issues that might be problematic and kind of trying to be prepared on the front end.
And I'm presuming you took a look at other Super Bowls, too, to see where they got hammered. What changes? Did you make any changes in the way you sort of configured to based on that research?
Other than being prepared, no, because we don't know what's going to happen. We have looked to see and we've discussed all of the issues that we know that have happened in previous Super Bowl situations and other events that have caused issues. So, you know, I think we're as prepared as we can be at this point, and we'll just wait to see whether or not we get a lot of complaints about this. Hopefully we won't. Hopefully people will, you know, frankly, your show is the best medicine for this because to be prepared is the best way to avoid a scam. It's often very difficult to recover your money if you've been scammed. I guess another red flag we haven't mentioned is that if anybody wants you to pay, let's say you're purchasing something online and we've already said go to the legitimate dealers, etc. But you don't want to do money orders, you don't want to do the cash transactions that are the, you know, scenarios where the scammers are usually using the money cards, etc., where the money is really essentially the same as giving cash.
Another great red flag is if somebody is just pushy. Just seems like you have to do this now. Do it now or, you know, Joe,
or you'll lose
down
out.
The street.
Yeah.
There's not really going to be that kind of a scenario. You know, there's not going to be some golden ticket that only you have discovered and only you have been approached about. So, you know, watch out for pushy sales tactics. Don't use cash if you can possibly avoid it. Don't send money orders. Don't send cash. And you'll be fine. I mean, we're all smart people. We can get through this weekend and have a great time. And
Wiring money is a huge red flag, so be very careful. I agree with all that.
We are talking about consumer protection and Super Bowl scams here on No Limits. I am John Kroll. I have been talking with my guests for the first half of this hour, Cheryl Reed of Angie's List and Abby Kuzma, who is with the Consumer Protection Division of the Indiana Attorney General's Office. Cheryl and Abby, thank you very much for joining us. You gave us an awful lot of useful information.
Really
appreciated having you here. Please stay with us. I will be back with Indiana State Police Sergeant Rod Russell and IMPD Sergeant David Miller, who are going to talk about the stuff they're seeing on the streets right now. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism and executive editor of thestatehousefile.com. We are talking today about consumer protection and Super Bowl scams. First half of the program, we had with us Cheryl Reed of Angie's List and Abby Kuzma of the Indiana Attorney General's Office. For this segment, we are talking with the enforcement, the guys who are checking on what's going on out there right now. We're fortunate to have with us Indiana State Police Sergeant Rod Russell. Sergeant Russell, welcome to the program.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Good to have you here. We also have with us IMPD Sergeant David Miller. Sergeant Miller.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us here, helping our get our message out.
Good to have you guys here. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You also can email at nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, I will start with Sergeant Russell on this one. What are we seeing out there? What scams have we already found out about, knowing that the big crowds have yet to come and are probably just starting to arrive?
Well, I think Cheryl and Abby covered a lot of that in the first segment of the show. I mean, the ticket scams, the housing scams, the party ticket scams, I mean, they're plentiful. In fact, Dave has quite a bit of information on that. We've seen a few of them. I noticed in the media today that there was a gentleman that believed he got ripped off on a housing scam. He was wanting to rent his house, and the company that said that they would rent it for X amount of dollars a night didn't come through for him, so he's left out with a finder's fee in the beginning. But I'll let Dave cover some of that.
Sergeant Miller, what are you guys seeing right now?
Our main concern is with pickpockets, actually, in the downtown area. We've had several instances of people being victimized by pickpockets. We're waiting for an influx of counterfeit merchandise to hit, people selling, which the NFL takes very seriously, and that we've partnered along with our peers in law enforcement. We're all working quite well together. We're expecting a rush of what we call with the fake party passes. A lot of people out there, they don't know what tickets or passes look like. They're at the mercy of people selling them. And usually it's presented to them as trying to help the seller out because they've got extra tickets or they're not going to be able to use them and they're looking to get face value or maybe something a little over for them versus they've got – it's all profit for them. So it's anything they get is cost effective. Another thing where we look at the parking scams, which is kind of a crime of opportunity, you know, with all the various lots throughout downtown – people will take advantage of it. All somebody has to do is just park a few people. As we get towards game day, the parking spaces, the price is going to go up. You know, so if you park a few people, you know, whether it's $100 a parking spot or we know some spots downtown are going to be quite expensive, $500 and even $1,000 just to park for the day for game day. So if somebody parks just a couple people, they could easily clear several hundred dollars and they're off to the next spot. And it's very difficult because people, they're kind of victimized twice. One, they're out the money that they've
used. And then their car gets towed.
And then their car gets towed, yes.
And I would think that's a really tough crime to stop or to catch someone after it's been done because, you know, I'll park in lots or whatever, and I can't say that I commit the features of the person I hand the money to memory when I do that, so I can't even give you a description if it happens.
Absolutely. The time delay is crucial because usually by, you know, if we're talking if somebody's coming down for an event or just enjoying Super Bowl Village for the day, they're down here for several hours and they get back and they find out their car's been gone. Or if they've bought come game day, if they've bought a ticket, we're aware of some of our other law enforcement in other states, New York City, to where they already have victims of counterfeit tickets. Well, if we have people from outside Indiana coming in with counterfeit product, they're not going to know that their ticket is bad until they get to the magnetometer on game day. And then they found out my ticket's bad. They're assisted with ticket resolution. But it's, you know, we're not only dealing with somebody who sold a ticket in another state, or even if they bought it here, there is a huge time delay to where the, you know, if it was dealing with somebody with a prepaid phone, you know, the phone's gone, the contact's gone. They have no further information about the person that they bought the ticket from.
And as you say, they can go through ticket resolution, but at that point, you know, they've paid to come out here, presumably paid for hotel lodging, which is really expensive right now, and they've got no way to see the game.
Correct.
Because it's sold out. How did you guys prepare for this? I mean, in terms of an event like this, obviously we've known the Super Bowl was coming here for a while, and other cities have hosted Super Bowls. You knew there were going to be some law enforcement challenges that came with it. Sergeant Rod Russell with the Indiana State Police, how did you train or get ready for this?
Well, this was a joint venture with all law enforcement agencies, federal, state, and local, and it's actually been going on for more than 2 years. All the agencies that are involved, the committees have traveled to some of the other venues, Super Bowl venue sites, to gather information from law enforcement at those locations to implement here, or best practices. Everything's best practices and in improving. Not to get into a lot of detail, but these type of situations, and the state police and IMPD and Marion County Sheriff's Department were all involved during the Indianapolis 500. That's mm-hmm. just kind of a tune-up to what goes on here. This is such a grand scale that it takes a lot of commitment from all these agencies and manpower.
How much bigger a problem is the Super Bowl? Because I think of the 500 as a huge event. I mean, you got a quarter of a million people.
You're talking over a two-week period here, and it's not necessarily a problem. It's just a large situation where you have to have a lot of disciplines involved and all the angles covered to protect people, and so people can have a good time. Unfortunately, the criminal element follows Super Bowls. They follow mm-hmm. huge functions, and there's intelligence that's gathered, not to get into specifics.
Intelligence on the part of law enforcement?
Yeah, on the part of law enforcement. Intelligence is gathered about situations that may occur or have occurred in other venues throughout the country, other Super Bowls. But, all in all, I mean, people have been coming down here to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
They want to have fun. There are good people that have come down here that have a good time. Unfortunately, there are bad people here, too. Mm-hmm. And there are bad people that want to commit crimes against good people. And that could be personal crimes. It could be scams. It could be a lot of different things. And kind of touching on that, I kind of want to start here in the beginning. There are a lot of people that have been down here. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people that will come back. There are a lot of people that will be here just for the game. And those of you that are listening to this right now, what I'm about to tell you should start at home. Before you leave, social networking pages are great. Don't tell people on Facebook where you're going. Don't communicate on Facebook that, hey,
I'm going to leave my house. I'm attended for the next.
Burglars, come on in. It's an advertisement, okay? If you're coming down, try to lean out as much as possible. And I'm talking about valuables. Strip your vehicle out. Don't leave anything on the interior that you may not think it's valuable, but to somebody that's drugged up, it'll bust your windows out for some change in your console, you got a problem. So, leave the interior compartment of your vehicle vacant. Try to leave your valuables at home. If you got a safe, lock them up. Don't tell people your business, particularly on Facebook or any other social networking pages. When you come down, know before you go. Visit the Super Bowl website, IndianapolisSuperBowl.com. Know before you go, there's traffic restrictions that change daily. So know what route you're going to take in if you haven't been here before. And if you've been here before, the routes probably have changed because of different things that are going on. So, that's important that you know your way down here and know where you're at. And not necessarily just rely on GPS systems because traffic patterns change. Talking about pickpockets and purse snatchers and things like that, guys, if you got a wallet, try not to carry a lot of money with you. And gals, try not to carry a lot of money with you. Credit card, ID card. Men, if you got a wallet, put a rubber band around it, stick it in your front pocket. Women, ladies, if you're going to carry a purse, carry it close to you. Strip all your valuables out, jewelry, things like that. Leave them at home in a safe. secure
real
them.
Quickly, just to interrupt, why would you put a rubber band about around it? And
friction.
Put it,
it creates friction on your wallet.
Oh, so you'll feel it more likely if it's coming out.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a good concept.
And in your front pocket. You know, and a lot of ladies, you know, they may be wearing jeans or pants with pockets in them. You know, is it really important that you need to carry your purse? Some ladies want to carry their purse. But if you don't have to, you know, your ID, your driver's license or an ID, a credit card, you know, some pocket money, and definitely make sure you have your medical insurance card with you in case something happens and, you know, mm-hmm. you need that. But I would go lightly. I would travel lightly. If you're bringing kids down, keep track of your kids. Had a lot of kids lost, mm-hmm. Disconnected from their parents. Keep track of the kids. Real important. Safety's in numbers. Travel in numbers, you know. Don't go down areas that you're not familiar with when you're downtown, like unlit areas, alleys, shortcuts, things like that. Stay, you know, in an area where, you know, there are people. be cautious of choke points, because that's where pickpockets and purse snatchers work. I know, you know, Dave and I have talked briefly before the show, and I'm familiar with what's out there on the street. As far as law enforcement, there are a lot of law enforcement officers out there. Some of them are in uniform. Some of them are not. Mm-hmm. And they're vigilant, and they're watching, and they're looking, and there's cameras, and there's a lot of ways that law enforcement can track. But
how much staffing do we have downtown right now? I mean, I'm assuming that there's a pretty strong undercover presence.
There is, sir.
Down there. And we've got a lot of I've seen a lot of uniformed police officers, law enforcement officials down there. I mean, how many people do we have policing this area right now? And
John, one of the initial questions you asked was about the training and that. So mm-hmm. I want to go back to mm-hmm. to that, as far as we've been working on this for quite some time with the planning once we knew the Super Bowl was coming. Numerous committees and briefings and everything occurred. We set goals for training for various law enforcement. We held those here in Marion County, invited our federal, and we're at the table with state police and IMPD are working very heavily together to accomplish all our major goals. But we had training deadlines set out 16, 30 days in advance, where we had a lot of training topics covered, such as we had our Marion County prosecutors come in and give us excellent things on various matters of what crimes we expected to encounter during Super Bowl. So we had training on Super Bowl crimes. We had the NFL in to give us mm-hmm. specialized training as far as recognizing counterfeit merchandise, counterfeit tickets. We had our code enforcement, our city prosecutors with code enforcement, in to educate our officers on everything else, signage, and what to enable us to work together and reach common goals. We had, regarding suspicious packages and that, we were made aware of what to look for and to exercise due diligence. And through constant communication, and I think what's important on where we've identified experienced leadership, like those who have mm-hmm. been involved with the 500 or all the Colts events and everything else. So from the bottom through the top and back down, we've had excellent communication. As far as staffing, mm-hmm. We have numerous plainclothes teams serving different functions, whether it's property rights, teams in the village looking out for various, whether it's criminal or just public safety issues in general. One of the other thing that's huge is our staffing with our uniformed officers. We've had mm-hmm. officers who usually wear plain clothes or were asked to be in uniform and different. So there's some rotations going around. So we have easily on a daily thing, we have several hundred officers in the downtown area specifically identified for protecting the village, working together. We're using smart technology. I don't know, for people that have noticed on Penn and Capitol, we're trying out some booths called Skywatch. Mm-hmm. And those are platforms that are raised up, and we've got not only can we observe out there, but we have excellent surveillance going on in the video surveillance. We have mm-hmm. cameras everywhere. So we are watching, and we're calling out if we see suspicious activity. We're using our technology efficiently. And we're communicating very well. Everybody is we know what the goals are, and we're working together to reach those goals. So
We are talking about consumer protection and Super Bowl scams here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. I want to pick up on something you said, Sergeant Dave Miller of the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department, a little while ago. You mentioned the person who had bought tickets to the game, perhaps, and let's presume the two places they're coming from, either New York or Boston, online. And they've come out here, they're listening to this program, and they've heard the warning and thinking, oh, man, I hope this is legit. Is there a way that person can check before he or she goes to the game? Is there a resource that they could use to determine if the ticket's legitimate or not?
Over at the convention center, they do have a will call ticket office there now. On game day, the NFL is preparing for the influx of possibly counterfeit tickets. And when we talk about counterfeit, we're also going to have lost or stolen tickets that could be involved as well that have been stolen, and then they're out on the street to be sold, and then people find out that those tickets that they bought, who are actually, you know, it's a real ticket, it just happens to be stolen and it's been invalidated somehow, and when they get to the magnetometers, they found out their ticket isn't good and they don't know. So as far as steps, I would suggest referring people to the convention center, to the will call or ticket office that's currently set up, and then there's going to be a lot of resources on game day, but unfortunately, it's game day, so it might be a little
too
late.
Yeah, the time window gets narrower and narrower at that point. What was the biggest problem? You know, it strikes me just from listening to the two of you that we have a problem that's a little bit like in medicine. One of the reasons we can't find a cure for the cold or flu bugs is because the virus mutates so rapidly that whatever antidote or, you know, antibiotic they come up with is a generation behind it. To some degree, it sounds like the scam artists keep mutating their efforts or pushing them in different areas, and you end up fighting the last war. What was the worst scam in the last Super Bowl? What did your research show there? Sergeant Dave Miller of the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department.
Well, I think paying attention to crime, when we communicated with our Dallas counterparts, was the sheer volume of vehicle break-ins that they had. And that's something that we're taking in extra precautions. I think the dynamics with the Dallas event is different than our dynamics, just because their Super Bowl was spread out. A lot of their venues were spread over Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington, and the various other communities. And they had numerous police agencies in there. So I think each one was unique. They did have an influx of counterfeit. We're going to expect probably to take anywhere from 50 to 100 police reports probably on game day of people who have been victimized by a counterfeit or a lost or stolen ticket that was bought and found out to be invalidated when they get in. So when we talk about that, I draw attention to that because it's a hard one to talk to, because technically the NFL isn't the victim. And the NFL tries to assist as much as they possibly can. But for the most part, it's somebody who has bought a stolen or counterfeit ticket is where they're victimized over and over. And basically what we can do is we'll document it, make a police report, and then try and make a case if we can and go after to arrest and seek prosecution. So that's probably when we talk about that, it's a crime to where people are victimized, where they've invested so much time, effort, and money into making a dream come true for the most part, and it's resulted in some unhappy endings. So I think that's the one when we talk about not necessarily the largest thing. We're aware that Dallas did have that. When we're coming here, we're doing as much to prepare. We have conducted several trainings regarding counterfeit tickets. We have teams actively looking for counterfeit tickets. We're watching Craigslist and the social sites that are out there to see if we can set up stings, reversals in that. So we're looking, we're watching, we're being as proactive as we possibly can to help deter that and to identify people involved in that criminal activity.
Are there any telltale signs that you can look at and say, okay, my ticket may not be legitimate?
The easiest way to look at it is when you think of a Super Bowl ticket. I mean, they're glossy. They got holograms on it. It's usually a good card stock, a heavyweight card stock, serrated edges. There's a lot of features, internal security that NFL has that won't be discussed. But there's also the things that you look at. There's certain perforations that are in the ticket. The biggest thing is what kind of ink's on it. Are there misspellings? Are there items that are off center? Because these are huge souvenirs. The NFL takes a lot of time to make a ticket look very good. So if you're looking at a ticket and if you see like discolorations that it's like, well, there wouldn't be a printing or there wouldn't be a color area error made. A ticket is going to look very good. It's going to have holograms on it. The fine print is going to be there. So, I mean, carefully inspect the ticket when you're buying it. And when in doubt, just ask for identification. Ask for somebody to accompany you to a site or ask the history. Do they have a receipt of where they purchased it? When it comes to Super Bowl tickets, there aren't that many. There's a lot of people going to the game, but there's not a lot of tickets out there. So if you have the
opportunity. Which is why you can expect to pay a lot of money if you want to go.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we are talking about Super Bowl scams and consumer protection here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. You mentioned earlier that part of the problem with the Dallas Super Bowl was that everything was spread out all over everywhere. Was that part of the thinking here in creating a Super Bowl village, that the space would be a little more contained and therefore a little easier to police? Sergeant David Miller of the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department.
I think the host committee put a lot of effort into the planning for the downtown area. And I think it's the dynamics of Indianapolis and how we're set up. With the Mile Square area specifically is when the city was founded. So, and how the structure was set up. So, I mean, I like to throw in a little bit of Indianapolis history when we talk about that and the structure of our city. I mean, when you look at how far Indianapolis is spread out as far as square mileage, we look at our Mile Square area as the center of attention. Mm-hmm. So with the planning of Super Bowl Village and everything else, with all the venues that are downtown, the specific assignments were made, the leaders were chosen, and then they had a lot of thought put in. And how are we going to protect everybody that's coming down here? And obviously public safety was first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And with that, identifying the areas, we were able to use our existing models of how we handle other events and build on those. And then also working with our counterparts over at the state police.
Well, what did Sergeant Rod Russell in Indiana State Police Department, would it have been a much more difficult task, though, if basically you'd had to cover all of the area from, Beech Grove to Zionsville or White River Township up to Fishers? Does this make it a little easier for you to
Oh, it definitely does for law enforcement and also for the convenience of the visitors. I mean, Indianapolis downtown is a one-stop shop. I mean, you have dining, you have shopping, you have everything right there. And this draws my attention back to 1987 during the Pan American Games. Mm-hmm. And the state police and at that time IPD and multiple departments were involved in that because the venues were spread out all over the state. And, in that situation, it can be a good thing. Because the venues, depending on what the games were, and Atterbury and Fort Bend, and down here in Indianapolis at the Velodrome, but it also can be a policing nightmare and staffing to get law enforcement out to those different venues to cover all of the spectators that may very well show up, and not just withstanding spectators, but also the athletes that were involved in that situation. So, as Dave said, you know, down here in Indianapolis, it's an ideal situation. Everything's pretty much contained in a 1 mile square. It's manageable, and it's convenient.
We are talking about Super Bowl scams and consumer protection here on No Limits. We've got just a little bit of time left right now. What if I am not coming from out of town? I haven't bought a ticket, but I just want to come down and get a little bit of taste of this. Take my kids. What things, common sense things, should I do to make sure that they have a good experience, I have a good experience, and I don't get ripped off? Sergeant Dave Miller.
I think coming down is it's going to be a fun experience. Park in a garage is what I do. Find one of the city garages that's available. We have several. Mm-hmm. Come down and enjoy it. Obviously, check out the website, IndianapolisSuperBowl.com. There are fan guides out there with maps. Mm-hmm. And then we have a huge amount of volunteers. So ask questions. We have a lot of people here in the city that want to help. Obviously, law enforcement, approach law enforcement if you have any questions. We've been well-versed in brief long in advance on the events that are taking place. The daily events, familiarize yourself with that. And I think plan on spending, once you get down here, people are spending more time than they thought they would. Mm-hmm. So you'll be down here into the evening hours. So be ready for that. Obviously, for the kids, it's okay. You can bring a cooler with you into the village. Mm-hmm. So plan accordingly. But do see everything. We want you to come down and enjoy yourselves and stay together. Keep track of the kids. Know where they're at. It's easy for the kids to wander off because there's so much to do, so many fun things. There is a lot of things that get your attention.
We have been talking today about consumer protection and Super Bowl scams here on No Limits. I've been fortunate to have as my guest Cheryl Reed of Angie's List, Abby Kuzma, the Indiana Attorney General's Consumer Protection Division, Indiana State Police Sergeant Rod Russell, and IMPD Sergeant David Miller. We will be back next week when we talk about hot vacation and travel spots. I am John Kroll. Thank you for spending this time with us.
No Limits is a production of WFYI Public Radio, 90.1 FM and HD1. Producer, Sharon Alsip. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each Thursday at 1 p.m. for No Limits, rebroadcast at 8 p.m., and you can listen online at WFYI.org.